first thing that I think of when I think of dice is the game Yahtzee. Do you have like a different or a game that sticks out to you?
Yahtzee's definitely super high up there. I definitely remember playing a lot. We called it Greedy. I know some people call it Farkle as a family a lot, just like around the table. I remember for the longest time, I thought dice was only six-sided dice. I'd only ever seen them with the, you know, up to six pips. And I remember we started playing Dungeons & Dragons. And I remember my mind just being blown.
There's so many
different types of dice.
Yeah, we've played quite a bit of Dungeons & Dragons together and with other people as well. And I love Dungeons & Dragons, but obviously dice is a big part of Dungeons & Dragons. But the part that really draws me in is like all the fun interactions that you can have and that you're making up this story. Like building a story is really what Dungeons & Dragons is about to me. But the dice obviously play a role.
Yeah, I feel like dice are a good implementation. They themselves don't draw me. I mean, I have moments that are funny or like things that happen with dice. Or like, I mean, just thinking like our cousin David, he, for my birthday 1 year, got me 100-side dice, which is literally a ball. It takes forever to stop rolling. You have to like contain it in a little box. Otherwise it's just going to roll off the table. And it's just like, there's so much silly stuff that can happen with dice. And it's just,
I also have a really fun, there's a game that our grandparents had. It's called Pass the Pig. And you literally like roll these two little pigs, and based on how they land, if they land on their feet or on their back or on their sides, you get different kinds of points. It's very similar to Farkle or Greedy.
You get that rolling action.
I actually broke out their version of Pass the Pig and showed it to a bunch of my friends, and they got really into it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Other thing I feel like dice elicits is gambling.
Oh, yeah. I've played craps one time with some friends, not for money, and I like, if we were playing for money, I would have won a ton of money.
Like the exact same experience. Really? I had a work party for Christmas a number of years ago, and it was like casino themed, and so like they gave us a bunch of just fake chips that you could like use to enter like raffles at the end of the night. And one of the games they had was craps, and I'd never played it before. I had some people talk about it, but like I have no interest in gambling for real money.
No.
But I'm like, it's fake money, like let's go play. We didn't want to stay out super late, and so I got to the point where like, okay, I understand it. I just want to play till I lose all of my chips. So I just start like recklessly bidding everything on like crazy rolls. You know, you need to get like a 12 before a 7 is rolled. And like, I just kept hitting. I'm actively trying to lose all of my money, and I just kept winning. I'm just like, one of those things that's dangerously scary, because you're like, oh, gambling is so easy. I'm gonna actually go and put my money on. I'm really good at this. And you're like, oh wait, no, this is just random chance. And you know, the odds of you actually hitting like that at a casino is just like, it doesn't exist. Like, house always wins.
The house always wins. You might win in a moment, but if you keep playing, it's going to go away. Welcome to IndieQ. We're so glad that you've joined us here. Every week, we rank a new indie game on our ever-growing list. And today, we are going to be talking about the game Dicey Dungeons. Dicey Dungeons is a cute little dice-based dungeon crawler with turn-based combat system. Essentially how the game works is you are playing as a character, and there's a number of different characters who have different, they work slightly differently, but you're going to roll dice and you'll have your dice, and then you need to utilize those dice in order to attack the enemy. And so like your enemy will be something that you're fighting against, and then you have a weapon, a way to attack, and the dice are the way that you actually attack is using the numbers that come up on the dice.
Yeah, and so I think the biggest premise of the game is utilizing your equipment, your layout. It depends on the character you're playing as.
Yes.
But typically, in the base version of the game, you have a certain number of equipment slots. You're able to collect different equipment throughout the game, which lets you utilize different dice different ways. You know, some of them are basics, just like, hey, do damage equal to the number of dice, the number on the dice that you rolled. So you would drag that dice onto that equipment slot, and you would just make that attack. Some stuff, though, is like, you can only use evens, can only use odds.
It's gonna affect the dice in some way, where it's like
duplicate a dice, multiply a dice. Yeah. Some of the equipment have countdowns, and so it's like you need to get to 12. You know,
and once it gets to 12, this thing happens.
Some of them, you know, so it's the I think the juice, the meat of the game is like figuring out what equipment you can get that can combo together that also utilizes the fact that you're rolling dice every single round. You don't control what your dice face is going to show up. So if you create a loadout for your equipment where it's literally you need to get sixes, otherwise you can't do anything. It's like, oh, you're going to lose. Your enemy's going to be able to attack you on their turns, and you're going to run out of health, and you're just going to...
Or you need to have some way of getting sixes. Like, it's the dice face will double, but the maximum is three. So if you have three, then you could double that and get to six. Yeah, and, like,
I realized before where getting to six was my main goal.
And then you...
But I had other ways to manipulate my dice. You know, I can add these dice together, and then you can multiply
or dice. Minus one, or a double, or there's lots of different things that you could adjust dice with.
So, that in of itself makes the game way more fun to me.
Mm-hmm. And also, as we were kind of explaining that, if you're just like thinking, oh, you have so many options, as you go into battle, the next enemy, you only have a limited number of equipped, slots, essentially. And depending on what you're using, like, it's going to take up a certain number of those slots. And so you can't have everything that could make it super easy. You need to be like, oh, I'm going to go into this battle with these equipped slots.
You can make a build for your run.
And
because it's basically, you have different runs. There's different challenges. Each character has, like, different levels that you can go through, which have slightly different variations and more challenges.
And as you increase it, it's like... The different doors, different, like, things that they're going to go and fight through. But I can say this, too. It's kind of set up like a game show. And the person running the game show is Lady Luck. And each of the characters is coming into the game show trying to win something that they're, like, maybe it's... Like, for one of the characters, it's, like, fame. For other ones, it's, like, oh, I want to be powerful or different things like that. So they each have, like, a different... like, flavor. Like, they're trying to do a certain thing.
It's funny, because you were telling me about this.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it till most of my way through my playthrough. We were sharing a Steam account for this, and I somehow downloaded your entire save file. And so I had everything unlocked.
And you didn't
get
it.
Right from the get-go, and no story beats. And I was just kind of like, huh, I really feel like this game could have a story, but it's really...
Yeah.
You know what? The gameplay is fine, but, you know... And then you're telling me, I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah, each character has...
There was story beats going on, and just...
Different motivations, and... Yeah.
Which I also think is interesting in the fact that story, I think, is such a draw for me and wanting to understand what happens. And you were telling me how, like, there's, like, six levels for each character.
Right.
And after completing the level, you get a little more tidbit of story for the character before you go into the next level. I didn't have any of that. And so I would beat the first level and go into the second, kind of just like...
Continue pitching around.
Yeah, but like, I had no draw to like, oh, that challenge sounds hard. I don't really think that would be that fun to struggle through that. I don't have, you know, unlimited time.
Yeah.
Eh, I'll go play a different character because that sounds more interesting to try to utilize, you know, the different...
Yeah, when the game first opens up on a new save file... Like, you only have access to, like, I think just the first couple, maybe even just the first one or two or three
characters.
And once you have beat the first level with a couple of characters, you unlock the next characters. Mm-hmm. And then as you beat each of, like, the different doors, like, if you beat the level one, then you open up level two and so on and so forth, right? And so it's adding more challenge to the game. It's going to... Some of them will really mix up how the game even runs, the later levels. And so as you continue to go through it with each of the characters, you start realizing that Lady Luck is, you know, the overlord of this game show. And, they all come in as humans and they get transformed into dice. And
okay, I missed that. They're all dice to me. I'm like,
yeah.
Whatever.
And so they're like, if we win this game show, then I'm going to get this great... thing that I want really badly. And once you beat one of the levels, like, she's like, we're gonna spin this wheel, and if it lands, like, there's, like, you know, 20 different options, and 19 of them are something good happens to you, and one of them is a bad thing happens to you. You don't get out of the, you don't get the prize. And every time you spin the wheel, it always comes up as you don't win the prize. Like, oh, darn, you didn't win again. And everyone's like, I think this is rigged. And all the different dice have, like, little weird personalities that they're...
I missed out on all of that.
It's not that huge of a thing, but it's cute, and it just keeps, like, this story kind of... You step to the next bit because you're like, oh, yeah. Once you get to the later levels, it's like, okay, that's the same thing kind of over and over again. But they present it in that way.
Yeah, for me, the big draw was experiencing the different characters. Because mm-hmm. they had, you know, the first one's like the brute, which is like very focused on like having high dice rolls. And then you had like the thief, who is like utilizes the low dice rolls, all about like getting poisoned. Stacked on top of people because poison will persist through multiple rounds, and then like dramatically changes. You know, the robot, which is like a push your luck mechanic of like every time you roll a dice, you get closer to this max, and if you go above the max like number of pips on a rolled for that round, you can't do any of your actions.
Yep.
But if you hit exactly that number, you get like bonus damage and other bonus stuff. And so it's like a push your luck and then also trying to manipulate different aspects to like, so you can manipulate where you're at in relation to that, like getting the bonus.
Yep.
And then you have the witch, which is like building a spell book, which I thought was really fun and interesting.
And as we're walking up these lines, it's like they get more and more
complex
and difficult.
And then the Jester is a straight up deck building game.
Yep.
Where you don't have equipment slots, but they're basically cards
that you're gonna draw.
You shuffle every time you draw them to play dice and like different aspects.
And then you skip the inventor.
The inventor. That was the one I played it like once or twice and just did not connect with like every time you beat an enemy, you have to like change, you like destroy one of your equipment to become a special thing. And I might enjoy it more now. It was like one of the first ones I played as, and I'm just like, whoa, this is like, I don't understand what any of the things do already.
And you don't have the inventor to start. I'm pretty sure you only can start with the
Warrior. I think that's the problem of me starting with everything unlocked. Yeah. I'm a pretty smart guy.
Like inventors.
But I don't even think the inventor was like the highest complexity listed. I was like, okay, I'll do like a mid complexity one, I'll do the inventor. And I'm like, all the other ones were so intuitive to me, but the inventor one was not.
Yeah.
And so. But I just think it's fun how, like, to change up... It's the same game. You're still, you know, going through the levels. And you have, you know, fighting different, you know, bad guys to progress. And then leveling up, will make it so you'll be able to roll more dice.
Each enemy
and
that you...
heal all the way up. So it's like sometimes you take a lot of damage. You're like, if I can just beat this one person without taking 8 damage, I'll go back up to my max 32 health. So... But I love the fact that it is the randomness happens and then you respond.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of frustration in luck-based games, like the one, it's funny, it's the first thing that comes to mind, but I've never actually played Risk. I'm a huge board gamer. I've talked about that. I've never played Risk. I know how it works though, of that you make all of your plans, you do all of your strategy in Risk, and then the attack phase happens and it's like, who rolled a 6? That person gets to kill somebody. And so it's like, you could just get screwed by luck.
Yeah.
You can make all the right choices, but if the luck just doesn't roll your way, you're going to lose, even if you made every strategical decision correctly. Whereas I feel like a game like Dicey Dungeons, it's like, here's the luck that happened, but now you can... utilize your build of your character in different ways to make it so that you can utilize
different types of dice
or, you know, you're like, I just need an odd dice. I need an odd number, but I can subtract one. So regardless of if I roll all evens, I always have an equipment that lets me subtract one off of a dice.
It becomes
an odd and I can like do my combo. And so just the fact that it's not just like predetermined of like, oh, this dice rolled up, you're screwed.
Right. It's like, I picked this, and if I roll a 4 or 5, it will succeed. It's like, well, I didn't succeed because I didn't roll a 4 or 5. Like that, essentially. Yeah.
I think some of my biggest frustration with dice in board games, period, is just like, I like that the thought of like there being chance and variation of it's not just a preset, this person just wins because they have a better force or something.
Yeah.
But when it's just like, it feels like you have no control. Because there's going to be a day where just the dice just don't come up in your favor. And I feel like that can really bum me out in an experience when I'm like, I couldn't have done anything different and I just lost everything.
Yeah, it's just like, I put myself in such a good position to succeed and yet the dice just didn't fall in my favor. We don't have to go into too much detail about this, but one of my favorite board games is Twilight Imperium, and it's this big epic space game, but there's battles and stuff like that, and the dice are really only utilized during the battle phases of the game. And so it's like, you could go in with, like, based on the things that you're bringing in, you're going to, based on that, you should win the battle, but...
You don't.
But always. You don't. And I do think that, like, there is that element, but in certain games, it's way more, like, apparent. Like, oh my gosh, it feels so much worse because you might not have the ability to bring in, like, I'm going to bring in extra just to make sure I don't lose this
I feel like
encounter.
Stuff like that, Twilight Imperium especially, I feel like the circumstances of the fight really dictate it. Because, like, if you're, like, the person who's in last place and they have, like, no troops and they get to roll, like, two dice versus the person who's, like, winning. It's, you know, they're coming over to steal their stuff. And everyone, like, oh, that sucks. They're beating up on the guy who's in last place. And then when that last place person just pulls out a miraculous victory, it is, like,
I can't believe they survived.
Crowd, everyone's cheering. And it's, like, in those cases, it's like, wow, that dice and those luck was so awesome. But I've also had so many experiences where it's like the person who's in last place
gets
their big fleet together and they have their one move to like be able to have fun at all in the game. And they go up against this person who just should not win and they just get wiped off the map. And they're just like,
I'm so sad now. I'm going to go sit in the corner and put my dunce cap on and just stare at the wall.
And so, I mean, that's dice for you. They're so swingy of like they can bring about some of the best moments and they can bring about some of the worst. And I really think it's in contextualizing the game around those roles that determine whether or not games that are super dice heavy, like, stand the test of time and enjoyment.
Yeah. And so I think we both would agree that Dicey Dungeons does a good job of not making the dice is like the whole game. It's literally in the title. Dice is everything that you're doing is about dice. But even though the dice are so prevalent, you don't feel like that. There are times when you're like, I just need to get this one dice roll and I didn't quite get it and I can't manipulate my dice in a way, and that's kind of a bummer. It's just like, that's what happens, and maybe you have to restart because you end up losing all your health.
Yeah. But and you're not going to win every single round even though you can manipulate stuff. I think that's important, that there is a chance of failure, because if there's no chance of failure, it's just like, oh, I just am doing a simulation where I actually have to do a bunch of work
and I will succeed at the end. Yeah.
So like, you need to have the fail state. And I think Dicey Dungeons does a good job of doing that. I just think it does a really good job of letting you make interesting decisions after you see the outcome of your luck. And that I think the interesting decisions part is what makes or breaks it for me.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the case and there wasn't different ways to utilize the low dice numbers, it was just all about rolling high,
I wouldn't like it.
This game would not be fun.
It's just playing... A game where you both grab two dice and you roll them and whoever gets
it's
the
like
highest...
war.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. That's a card game. It's like, oh, I have the higher one. I win these guys. And so, which to me would be like a completely dumb game. Or it would be a game that you'd play when you're, you know, seven and you're sitting with your friend and that's all you're doing for the 30 minutes.
Yeah. I'm curious, are there ways where it's like, just in your everyday life, where you see luck playing a significant role in just, like, things that you do outside of, like, video gaming and board gaming?
That's a great question. I don't have an immediate answer for you, but can I think about... Do you have any thoughts that come to your mind?
I think just, like, not necessarily in my life, but just in the world in general, I think one of the clearest one is the lottery, which I feel like really connects with the story you're telling me exists in the game of, like... Hey, luck could fall in your favor. You could be the lottery winner, and you know, you're in a bad straight, but like, hey, give us your money and hey, you could become a multimillionaire. I think it's really enticing for a lot of people.
And it's really enticing. I've heard the lottery described as a tax on the poor. It's a tax on the poor because the people who are participating in the lottery, because they're down on their luck, are the people who are less fortunate. So they
play it significantly more frequently. I have actually never bought any lottery. I have like done scratch-offs, but it's always been gifted to me as a stocking stuffer or something from Christmas or just like...
Which those are fun. It's like, I won $5. I'm going to take it to the gas station and get my $5.
But, so like, I've not lost any money on the lottery, period. But I know so many people spend so much money that they don't have. Like I said, it's going back of like, hey, if you're down on your luck, you're relying on luck to get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this game, just in its themes, really brings up the question that I was resonating with of like, when you fail, how much of your failure is due to your poor decisions versus poor luck in the draw?
I feel like the situation is so like, so dependent on it. Like when I think about my own life, the times that I feel like I failed at something, I almost always I chalk it up to like me having a lack in skill or, oh, I didn't do the thing I was supposed to do. I didn't follow through with X thing. And that's why this didn't end up turning out that great. But I'm sure that there's a lot of luck just in life and how people respond and how all that thing goes and how things end up turning out. But the way that I like view life, I feel like in my personal life, it's way more, if I fail, it feels like it's way more based on something that I did. Rather than like, oh, luck just fell in the wrong spot today.
As I'm just like contemplating it, this is gonna be a weird statement. Just bear with me.
Okay.
I don't know if I believe in the concept of luck. There's a concept of randomness and just like outcomes are not determined, and like. But like the sense I feel like a lot of the way people look at luck is like there's good luck and there's bad luck, which I don't think is a very holistic way of actually looking at life. Because in my life, there's been so many things that I could classify as bad luck that actually put me in positions where I was better off. And it's one of those weird things of like we determine good or bad just on the immediate like visual outcome of like did a thing happen the way that we wanted to or not.
Yep.
And I think a lot of times we don't get what we want, but it's the best thing that could possibly have happened to us. Where if you get everything that you ever wanted, your life is going to be miserable.
Yeah, and that makes me think of the way, like, this is dumb, but maybe it's not dumb, but like raising, like being raised up in the family that we were raised up in, or thinking about like having kids and things like that. Like a lot of people want just what's best for their kids. So they want to put them in every situation that is a positive, helpful, like only good things happening to them. They want to shield them from all the negative things that could happen in life, right? And I think that's a very common place for most people to be in, right? I don't want my kid to suffer or go through some hardship or difficulty, right? And yeah, as you're saying that, it's like, well, actually the hardships and difficulties that we face in our life are what's going to transform us into people who are going to be able to withstand hardships and trials in our life. And newsflash, everybody, the world's not that great of a place, and there's a lot of negative things that are going to happen in this world. And if you are completely, like, if you're not resilient at all because you have just been, like, fed, you know, ice cream every day for your whole life because that's what you like, it's not going to be very good when life comes at you in a way that ice cream isn't going to help you anymore.
I don't want to clarify. I know you're not saying this, but it could come across as obviously there are certain bad things that you just like are coming into your life because of stupid decisions. It's like you don't want to have just, you know, oh, I want my kid to be resilient, so I want to make a bunch of stupid decisions and just like expose them to all the worst crap in the world. There's a fine line you need to balance of like, okay, you know, I don't want to expose my, you know, my kid become really resilient. I read a story about this guy, his dad was a was a drunk and you beat him all the time, but then he grew up and he's like, oh, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm going to be strong and resilient. And I want my kid to be like that, so I'm going to be a drunk. And like, that's stupid. Yeah. There's a limit to like the insanity of like, you know, you want to protect your kids, but you can't protect them from everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just think that this game really made me think about luck a lot, of like just the concept of like,
yeah,
I just want only good things to happen to me, which is such a human response. And no one's wishing for bad stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just like grateful that we don't get what we want all the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The growth comes when you don't get the best thing all the time. And when you are going through trials and hardships and difficulties, like that's when like we build endurance to be able to go through those things, and life is going to throw those things at you. And I think that's really a good thought. So I want to go back to your original statement that you said maybe I would be a little bit weirded out by, of like, does luck really exist? Maybe that's not what you exactly said.
That's basically what I was
getting at. So as we've been talking through it, do you feel like you have any...
Randomness for sure exists.
Yes.
But...
I guess what is luck?
Yeah, that's...
What is luck?
No, baby, thank you. Don't
hurt me.
Oh, dear. Man, we're not becoming a sing-along podcast now, are we? I feel like a lot of people view luck as, like, something that... I mean, we even talk about it that way, of, like, it comes in waves. It's in your favor or not. Like, it's just hard, because that's, like, the mental environment I feel like I'm just saturated in. Of just like, that's how people talk and people experience stuff. But I don't know that it's actually the case of how reality is. Like, one thing you hear people talk about a lot, of like people who have like gambling addictions and stuff. It's like, the luck's going to turn in my favor.
Yep.
If I just keep betting,
eventually will win.
It's like, that's not, mathematically, it's not true. But people have a really hard time.
Is that the gambler's fallacy?
Something like that.
I think that's what it's called. Or it's like, I've lost this time, that means I have a higher chance of succeeding next time.
Because I have to win eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess when I think of the word luck, I guess I probably just naturally just substitute the word randomness in there. So like, one of the things I feel like it's out of your control too. Like the randomness being out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things that I think is one of the most determining factors in a lot of things in life, and how difficult or traumatizing your life might be, is your parents. Like you didn't choose your parents. Like, you just are in that family, and it could be a really amazing, loving family that is equipping you to go through life. Or it could be like, man, I've really had a difficult time because their parents sucked, or there were issues that came up, and maybe that's not even necessarily fully in the parents' control that things happened, and like there's all those things. It's like, yeah, you didn't choose that. You were given a lot in life, and now it's like, and which is very similar to this we're talking about in the game, where it's like you're given these numbers. What are you going to do with it? Sometimes it's not going to work out that great.
Sometimes it's impossible to make the best, the perfect decisions.
Like, yeah.
You get bad dice roll, you just never had the right equipment, and you're just, I'm going to lose. But there's other times where you're like, I got a bad dice roll, but I made some decisions about what equipment I'm equipping, and therefore, this is not going to see. Or vice versa, I have a terrible roll, but I am able to finagle and make some really cool combos.
Yeah.
And like have a way I wasn't exactly thinking about using my equipment together, that makes it so that I had so many times where I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna die next round, and then all of a sudden it became clear to me, if I do this and then this, I'll be able to get exactly the amount of health that they have.
Yeah.
And I can end the round now, which then will make me level up, which is then going to heal me all the way to back, and you end up winning the whole way through.
And I think that there's a huge benefit of like, hey, like, and looking at more options than you have, thinking about it in terms of life, it's like, it's really easy to get locked and loaded in like, I am going from point A to point B, and I have to go across this straight line, and if things are not going this way, then it means I can't get to point B. And the reality in life is sometimes point B is not actually a great place to be going. So maybe like when things don't go that way, you're going to adjust your expectations or go to a different thing or things like that. Where in this game, it's dumb because that's not what the game is necessarily trying to do. But I feel like that concept of living life and the luck of the game have similarities. They run congruently with each other.
Is there anything else specific to the game that you want to talk about before we get into our rankings?
I don't think so. I think I feel pretty good about where we're at. So that means it's time to jump into our rankings. We haven't done this in a while. Do you mind if we run through the list just to feel it out? It's been a shorter episode so far, so maybe we'll look at them. So right now, number 1, Hollow Knight. 2, Hades. 3, Celeste. 4, Towerfall. 5, Stardew Valley. 6, Salt and Sanctuary. 7, Dead Cells. 8, Slay the Spire. 9, A Short Hike. 10, Crypt of the Necrodancer. 11, Into the Breach. 12, Tunic. 13, Retro Bowl. 14, What Remains of Edith Finch. 15, Golf Story. 16, Super Auto Pets. 17, Ali Ali. As we're running through there, what feels like a good first?
I definitely think it is in the bottom half.
The top half is so
it's just like so stacked. Genre defining games of like, I think everyone needs to play. This is a game where I had an enjoyable time with, but nothing that it did blew me away. And I wasn't like, I felt like I was having immense, like, just like high levels of fun. I think it's a really good puzzler, is what it is. So I think it would be interesting to compare it to other games that are in, they're not necessarily straight puzzle games.
Let's compare it to the game we played last week, Super Auto Pets. Kind of a puzzler, not necessarily like puzzle in the game, but it's like, you got a dice roll, you got a different pet that was, that came up. How are you going to adjust your strategy based on the things that came up in the role?
One thing that, for me, I like a lot better about this game is that it's just, this is a solo experience. You're not playing against someone else. And in that regard, I feel like the design aspects are different in the fact that they are designing an AI, like this is how they want the AI to play, and the AI always plays that way. There's times in Super Auto Pets where you just like,
how did they get to that such...
Either do super... You're playing against people who did super amazing builds. But I've had games where I just, like, I just won the first 10 battles. And I don't feel like I did anything special. And just, other people just didn't have good builds. And I just...
Or maybe you just did a great job of getting ahead, a little bit ahead, and you could keep winning.
Yeah, but I like the aspect of, like, the design of the game is not dependent on two people battling each other knowledge-wise. It's literally, like, we're presenting you a playground of puzzle... that different things will pop up, but we have like fine-tuned these different characters and the different ways of playing to make it so that I feel like it's always satisfying and you always feel like you're the clever one.
Yeah.
Whereas in Super Auto Pets, I feel like sometimes it's just like, what happened? I didn't feel spectacularly clever in it, but you also don't feel terrible when you lose. You're just like, what? How?
Yeah. What? I think part of that is, in Super Auto Pets, you don't know the conclusion when you hit the play button. You don't know what you're fighting against, right? So you're not like, here's the team that you're going to be going up against. Like, what are you going to try to do with your different pets? And like, oh, I'm going to do this because I know this is how things are going to react. And there is some randomness in Super Auto Pets in terms of like, oh, this attack is going to like shoot off at the start of the game to a random other pet. Yeah. And you don't know those kinds of things. But you don't have that in Super Auto Pets. Where you do have that in Dicey Dungeons, where it's like, this is the what I have, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to make it work so that I can win. And it's not going to happen each round. I guess we mentioned it, you know, it's like health-based. Like, the other enemy is going to attack you as well, and they roll dice as well. And so sometimes the dice rolls come out in your favor where it's like they needed a certain number.
And or they do their attack, they roll evens, and they roll all three threes. And it's just like, cool, I don't get hurt this round. I think I'm pretty safe in assuming that you enjoy Dicey Dungeons. I like Dicey Dungeons more than I do.
I think Dicey Dungeons is a more...
it's a well-rounded game.
It's a more well-rounded game. Super Auto Pets is just it's a fun land for me that I just enjoy being in. But I'm okay with putting Dicey Dungeons above Super Auto Pets. The other big puzzler that I'm seeing right now, even this bottom half, is Into the Breach, which is much higher, jumping up to number 11 right now. Super Auto Pets was number 16. What are your thoughts on Into the Breach?
I actually think these have a lot of comparisons. And the fact that when we talk about Into the Breach having near-perfect information with a little bit of randomness, I actually feel like Dicey Dungeons is very similar in the sense of Into the Breach at the start of each round, the enemies choose something to attack. You know how much they can attack for, or if there's an area that they can attack multiple spaces, but you don't really control whether or not they attack you, whether some of them don't attack at all. Some of them will attack different buildings or where they move to make their attacks, which I think is actually really comparable to just the dice roll at the beginning of a battle in Dicey Dungeons, yeah. Where you have no control.
You now get your information.
Your information is presented, and now you need to use the tools that you have created, whether you have your starting set, you have your starting mechs that you can choose from into the breach. You have your starting equipment for that round, but you can upgrade them throughout. You can get different powers and abilities on your mechs throughout, but you can also get different equipment, swap stuff out, upgrade different stuff. And then it's just like, okay, I need to react. There's definitely more luck, and there's more consistent, like, I'm rolling. You also have the randomness of, like, what enemy you're facing in Dicey Dungeons, because different enemies have different strengths and weaknesses to different things. And so, like,
and
there's more
what play. They attack, yeah. I would say there's a lot more randomness in Dicey Dungeons than, but I understand what you're saying. Like, you have a...
The randomness, I feel like, is presented similarly.
Yeah.
It's like, there's more of it in Dicey Dungeons, but there's actually a really high level of player agency where you're not dealing. I mean, I think we've beaten that horse to death. But
beat it to death. That's such a weird saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
But
what? So there are similarities there. When I'm thinking of these two games, Into the Breach and Dicey Dungeons, I feel like I'm more on the side of Into the Breach a little bit. Where it's like I really enjoy that the tactics portion of it, the similarities, like I still really enjoy Dicey Dungeons, but I don't know if like that propels it above Into the Breach for me.
I feel the exact same way. Okay. I think that the randomness in choices mechanically have a much more compelling theme of like mechs fighting aliens, rather than, I feel like, and then like having your choices actually being doing the attacks and like positioning and stuff, I think is more compelling, even though Dicey Dungeons matches its its mechanics matches its themes, but its theme is literally dice. Like, it's not hard to match your theme in that regard.
Yeah, it's a well-named game,
Dicey. Well, Dungeons. I feel like they have a lot of your equipment have different names of like, you can, like, try to visualize, like, your battle axe. You're like, okay, I can picture that. But in result, all you're doing is dragging a dice on top of a rectangle, and it's doing a certain number of damage to, like...
Yeah.
I feel like the disconnect between, like, what the thing is supposedly doing in your fight versus, like, the gameplay is a little bit more abstract.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think I like... Into the Breach a lot more.
Right below Into the Breach is Tunic, but I think we just jump past it. The Tunic is going to be higher than this.
Yes.
So let's go compare Dicey Dungeons to Retro Bowl.
So here's the thing where our ranking starts getting a little weird. I also feel like Retro Bowl might be ranked a little high.
Okay, do you want to look down at...
I want to compare it to What Remains of Edith Finch and What Remains of... and Golf Story. Like, I personally, I think I enjoyed Dicey Dungeons, I would say significantly more than
Retro Bowl.
Retro Bowl, but I think What Remains of Edith Finch and Golf Story both put up a pretty good fight against it.
Okay. I am personally, like, okay with Dicey Dungeons going over top of all these these games, would you give me your like your thought process, maybe a game that you, maybe What Remains or a golf story that you feel like would jump above Dicey Dungeons?
I like Golf Story a lot. I know you had a really rough time the second time that you played it. I'm really curious if you ever get to a third playthrough, if you have your tempered expectations between the two of like you thought nothing and then it was great and then you were thinking it was going to be great and disappointed.
If it's accurate,
the best example for that for me is like the original Avengers movie. I didn't see it for a year after it came out, and everyone was just telling me how it was like the greatest cinematic experience they've ever had. And I remember the first time I watched it, I actively did not like the movie because of how much it was built up.
Right.
I have since come to really enjoy that movie, but I think it's funny just how like different, you know,
the expectations.
I think I am much more of a story-driven person. Even though this is a puzzler game, which I think is satisfying puzzle mechanics, and to be fair, I also missed out on the story aspects of it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that would have influenced me, if it would have drawn me into trying to play more, because I didn't play a ton. I didn't, like, experience everything the game had to offer.
Yeah, and I like 100% of the game.
Yeah, and so I feel like I might have gotten shortchanged in
that a little bit, yeah.
But, like, I just, the ambiance and the feel of What Remains of Edith Finch, I just feel like is top tier in regards to just like games that made me feel something. Like I feel a lot of times games are fun or you enjoy a mechanic, but you don't often like come away like, wow, I feel like that really, you know, if, whether or not you agree with the, you know, the message of the game, like, yeah, I really pondered it. And to me, that matters. Like, I think entertainment that is just, like, digested and you just, like, move on and, like, it never happened kind of falls flat. I really am into stuff that, like, I like having discussions about stuff. I like really contemplating things. And I don't know that there's a whole lot more for me to contemplate with Dicey Dungeons.
Yeah. So, and you would... If you could place it wherever you want it, are you gonna place it below What Remains of Edith Finch?
I think that's where I'm leaning.
Put it right below What Remains of Edith Finch, right above Golf Story. And then knowing that Tunic and Retro Bowl are like asterisks on them right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty okay with that placement. I think it's just hard because it's like enjoyment of specific time, recency bias. I think it's just super easy to always want to rank stuff higher. Like, I really feel... I'm not fighting for it right now, but I feel like Golf Story is just, like, also one of those, like, it's in a weird spot, like, game-wise.
Yeah, we want to finish our 20th game in here, and I think our 21st episode is going to be some type of rearrangement, like looking at the list in a different perspective kind of thing, which I'm really excited to do. And I'm interested how these things will end up shaking out.
I think for right now at that, is it 15 spot?
Yes, this would be number 15.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Whether or not it's going to stay there long term with our re-ranking episode really quickly approaching, I think that's a good place for at least to ballpark.
I feel like that... doesn't feel weird at all to me. Keeping Dicey Dungeons in that grouping is not a weird spot for me at all. Below What Remains of Edith Finch, right above Golf Story, Dicey Dungeons, the new number 15.